We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and we're talking about Harriet Myers, President Bush's choice to be the next Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, and the president's first personal lawyer, and now his White House counsel. You know, part of her resume is this stint she had on the Texas Lottery Commission. Bush appointed her, and the way it's been framed and spun by the White House and her supporters is that the Texas Lottery Commission was in trouble, and she was brought in to clean it up, and she did so. You know, that story will get aired quite a bit in the next few months, but I want to talk about it just briefly here, because there's actually evidence to suggest that, if not the opposite is true, that it certainly isn't true that she, quote, cleaned it up, that she cleaned up a big mess. So President Bush, or then Governor Bush, appointed Myers to serve in a voluntary position, a public service position, at the Texas Lottery Commission in 1985. And during that time, the commission terminated two of its executive directors. Both were Democrats. And the claim by Democrats in Texas is she came in, and whether she oversaw it, or she was taking orders from somebody, or she just let it happen, Democrats were swept out of those positions and Republicans were put in. Both of those terminated executive directors filed lawsuits against the company that was running the Texas Lottery. It's a company called GTEC. And these folks, it's not clear they did anything wrong. And I'm not going to go into it in detail because there's quite a bit of information I've been reading about this, and I'm not sure yet how much of it is true. There are different slants in different stories. But the bottom line is that GTEC settled these lawsuits with these people that brought them. So the first person, Nora Linares, wanted to be reinstated. They finally settled this lawsuit, and the company, GTEC, gave her $435,000 to go away. And the person that replaced her claimed that GTEC's, quote, undue influence with the commission, the Texas Lottery Commission, led to him being terminated 5 months later. And he sued the company. Now, again, I'm not going to go back through all of this blow-by-blow stuff, but basically, when the historical record suggests that her record at the Texas Lottery Commission, it was a fairly troubled time. This is a quote from, what is the person's name? Slater. What is Slater's first name? Where do I have his name? Anyway, a fellow by the name of Slater was commenting about Myers' years on the Texas Lottery Commission, and this was on Morning Edition on NPR on October 4th of 2000. This was while Bush was running for, 1998, while Bush was running for re-election to governor of Texas. And he retained Myers. I'm getting ahead. I'm mixing two stories together here. Let me not get into that story yet, because that story is about his time in the National Guard. Let me stick with this NPR interview where Rene Montaigne interviewed Slater about Myers' tenure at the Texas Lottery Commission. Slater, quote, Montaigne said, "What was her tenure like?" Slater, "It was troubled. It was a real, real problem. It was a troubled agency, but not when she arrived. She was there about a year, year and a half, and then questions of influence peddling arrived, and during her tenure, it was a stormy time when two directors were fired, another lobbyist, Questions were raised about a lobbyist for the lottery contractor. Republican supporters say she was a person who sort of rode herd over an agency that was having problems, and she directed it in ethical ways. Democrats say that she was really a political lawyer who was hired, or at least administered, a Republican-minded discipline of Democrats. One of the directors who was fired had been an Ann Richards Democrat and was replaced ultimately by a Republican. NPR's Montaigne says, is that still the view between the two sides, that nothing was resolved? Slater, oh, you betcha. There's a conflict of interest about which side prevailed. I think there's a lot of feeling among people who know Harriet that she's a strong ethical person who was guided by the idea of protecting the integrity of the game. But still, Democrats say that there was an effort to purge Democrats along the way. And at some point, later along the way, the second lottery director to lose his job raised questions of politics. And during the legal battle, the lottery's lobbyist at the time, former Lieutenant Ben Barnes, testified in kind of a related case that he was involved in getting Bush out of the National Guard. So it became a deep, deep political fight. Well, I'm not going to rehash the whole Bush and the National Guard story, except to say that Myers was retained by the Bush campaign in 98 and was paid $19,000 to look into this area of his past, including Barnes's allegations about political favors that got Bush into the National Guard. So she certainly understands politics. You know, she's going to come across as a little old lady who wouldn't dream of getting involved in politics. But in fact, she knows quite a bit about the politics of it all. So we'll see what might come of that. In any case, what else do I need to cover about this lady? I guess the concerns of conservatives can be summed up that Bush is saying, trust us. How can we be sure? We've trusted Republican presidents before, only to have them nominate people who turned out to be, gasp, moderates. And we cannot have that. We must have conservatives because we are 51% of the country. Therefore, the whole Supreme Court should be conservative. We should overturn everything that's gone before because we have a slight majority. I mean, that seems to be the argument to me. No, it's that elections have consequences. They won, regardless of why they won, you know, Iraq war, whatever. They deserve these appointments. And frankly, the way the Iraq war is going, we may not have a Republican president next time, so we got to get our people in there now. But the conservative anger is amazing because there are so many people out there complaining about this. There was a long piece in the Washington Post today about a couple of meetings that have been held. Just yesterday, they were held in D.C., and Republicans are out trying to quell the anger. Republican Chairman, National Committee Chairman Ken Mellman, and a White House aide were meeting with people. There were a couple of big meetings hosted by a couple of arch conservatives, including Grover Norquist, head of the Well, he's an influential conservative in a number of ways, but he heads that Americans for Tax Fairness or whatever that tax reform organization is, and a couple of other people. And their anger just boiled over and exploded in these meetings with their fellow Republicans. They really think it's their due. This is the time they should be, the White House should be willing to pick a fight with the Democrats and appoint an ideologue conservative, because they've earned it. That's what they've been fighting for, so that's what they want. And it's just really interesting to me that is the approach. The last article I'll cite on this issue is Robert Novak in, was this today's paper? Yes, today's Washington Post. He starts out his column, quote, two questions were asked in conservative circles Monday when it was learned that President Bush had nominated his lawyer, Harriet Myers, for the Supreme Court. Question one, is this what we fought for? And question two, what was he thinking? let's go on to the what was he thinking question, because I just covered what they were fighting for. They think if you win an election, you get to appoint ultra-conservatives that suit you and damn the rest of the country. But the question, what was he thinking? Quote, by Novak, Bushologists figure the president was irked by repetitive demands that he satisfy the base with the Supreme Court appointments. He also was irked by the conservative veto of his Texas friend and Meyer's predecessor as White House counsel, Attorney General Alberto Gonzales. So Bush showed the critics by naming another close aide lacking Gonzales' track record to draw the ire of the party's Republican right wing. Well, I don't know if Bob Novak actually believes that or not, but I will tell you that that is a crock. If he believes it, he is out to lunch politically. This is about having a stealth nominee. Trust me, Bush is not out to disappoint his base. He's also not out to rub the nose of his conservative base in it because he's not getting their support right now. I still believe that George W. Bush is quite conservative when it comes to these kinds of issues, social issues and Supreme Court issues. Clearly on the budget and stuff like that, he's not a conservative. He's not even as restrained as Democrats. But on this issue, I think that what we've got here is a stealth nominee who Bush figured, why nominate an arch-conservative with a track record who will give us a knockdown, drag-out battle that all 45 Democrats will vote against, and I may have trouble avoiding a filibuster. Let me sneak in Harriet, who I know is an evangelical Christian, who I know has very conservative beliefs, who, frankly, right now is not that well-versed, and so the worst that'll happen is she'll follow the lead of John Roberts, and even better, Scalia and Thomas, for a couple of years while she gets her bearing, and then she'll be a good conservative justice, and she's 60, so she won't change her tune as she turns 70. So I really think that Bush fervently believes that she is the ideological conservative that he wants, but there's no paper trail. So we will see. The other piece about this is, oh, I'm sorry, I left out one topic. We've talked about the concerns of conservatives. We have not talked about the concerns of liberals. Who cares? They're not interested in the concerns of liberals in the White House or the concerns of Democrats. They're going to pull together 51 votes, and that's all they want. The other thing I think all these Republicans are forgetting is that Bush is actually substantially weaker than a lot of them realize. Let's review the bidding of what's going on. Foreign policy. Well, we can stop with Iraq, but Bush has taken heat on global warming even. But Iraq ain't going well, and so he's got his hands full for the rest of this administration. And frankly, the Republicans are looking at the election coming up in 2006, and they're scared to death about what Bush is leaving them to run on. Not just in terms of foreign policy and the mess in Iraq, but let's go to domestic policy. Katrina and Rita have rewritten the book on this. The Republicans claim they've only temporarily shelved the permanent repeal of the estate tax. They claim they've only temporarily shelved the permanent tax cuts across the board that are set to expire in 2010. The problem is, if Iraq costs you $5 billion a month, and if Katrina's going to cost you a couple hundred billion, and Rita's going to cost you $50 to $80 billion, and the new Medicare drug prescription plan is going to cost you $1 billion over 10 years, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you got a real problem here when you add all this up. So Katrina and Rita changed the focus from tax cuts to how do we help the poor? Right now, Bush is hoping for offsets, and I don't think he's going to get them. He wants to cut other benefits for the poor so we can help the poor and help the regions that have been hit by the hurricanes. I don't think that's going to happen. Another way in which Bush is weaker, he staked his prestige and his cachet on one issue at the beginning of this year, and people have sort of forgotten about it, but he went around the country saying, the number one issue for my administration for the next 4 years is Social Security reform. Well, they have quietly shelved that, but Social Security reform is dead. And that takes away some of a president's power. We also have gas prices. People are very unhappy about that, and there's nothing can be done about it short term. Then we've got the ethics and criminal investigations on the Republican side. Tom DeLay's been indicted again this week. There was another indictment related to the same thing, but he is not off the hook, which he had hoped to be. Bill Frist is under investigation by the SEC for insider trading. Duke Cunningham is still an embarrassment to the party in the House of Representatives and is going to prison, probably. There's the Abramoff scandal, the lobbyist who had something to do with Tom DeLay and a few other people. And then there's the Valerie Plame leak, where we don't know for sure, but it seems like the special prosecutor's looking at somebody, and most bets are Scooter Libby, the vice president's chief of staff, and Karl Rove, the president's chief of staff. That puts the White House in a weakened position. Finally, the country is actually split. The ultra-conservatives forget this, but we were clearly 50-50 in 2000. Bush used the war in Iraq and Americans' fear of terrorism to bump that up to 51% for him. But the country is evenly split. And so the idea that conservatives deserve ultra-conservative Supreme Court justices because they got an extra percentage on the rest of the country is a very weird argument to me. In any case, when we come back, I want to talk about the president's speech today. Today, President Bush spoke about the war on terror. And we'll hear from him, but I got a few things to say about the points that he made.